And today, you know, if you visit churches, you can ask them, well, how much time do you spend on prayer? And I've said this from the pulpit, how much time you spend on your phone, your iPad, and on your computer. Mm-hmm. And when you look at that, man, I would be ashamed mm-hmm. to see that prayer doesn't really mean anything to people. I really believe that if we put away, there's a balance.
Yeah.
If there's a balance on those areas, I believe revival will come.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has served as church pastor for over 40 years, and his goal is to help his fellow believers grow in holiness as fully committed followers of Christ. For the inspiring story of Raul's own personal spiritual journey, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com, or for a free DVD, call 800-634-9165. We're glad you've joined us today for Straight Talk with Raul Reese. He's here in the studio with us to talk about pursuing revival in our spiritual life. Whether you're a relatively new believer or you've followed the Lord for many years, Raul will show you the importance of taking inventory to see what areas of your life could use spiritual renewal. Let's get started now with Raul Reese and your host, Sean McKeon.
Raul, you just got back recently from a conference in Hawaii, and the conference theme, I wanted to kind of talk about some of those aspects because I think it would be a good show, and the theme was the church, the Holy Spirit, and revival. Raul, when you look at the church today, where is your burden? What is the state of the church right now?
Well, I think the church has fallen backwards instead of going forward. Mm-hmm. And I think what's taken place is we got too busy. We get our eyes on so many different things mm-hmm. than keeping our eyes on Jesus. And so the church can't progress. The church has to really come back to the foundation of the scriptures. And we need to stand by the scriptures and teach by the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And then the church can grow and develop into the true church.
When it comes to the purpose of the church, I think this is always important to define, because there's a lot of people out there that they look at the church from the outside perspective, from the world. Maybe they look at it as maybe they're closed-minded, they're not up to speed with what's going on in the world today. But when we look biblically, I know Ephesians 4 is the key portion of Scripture, but what is the purpose of the church?
Well, the purpose of the church, the way I see it, is to teach the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Once a person gets saved, they just don't go home. We give them a Bible, and a lot of people stop there. Mm-hmm. But I think that a real church that really cares for souls, they're going to get saved, they're going to get counsel, and they're going to get taught the Word of God.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we've talked about this often when it comes to pastoring and ministering to people, that the greatest counsel actually should be from the services where the Word of God is being taught. When somebody comes to the Lord at a big event or yeah. even here in the services, mm-hmm. they're encouraged for a few things. They're encouraged to pray. Mm-hmm. They're encouraged to know God's word. They're also encouraged to go to a church that teaches the word of God and to share your faith. And I think you brought this up yesterday. It's like if one or two of those things are off, you're going to be off.
Yes.
And so those that don't make the church a priority in their life, they're missing out. You said it before, the church teaching the word of God. But what happens is Chuck had this philosophy, the sheep beget the sheep. When you are teaching them, they start to do evangelism. You've seen that over the years, right?
But you know something important? Nobody had to tell me that I had to read. Mm-hmm. Nobody told me that I had to go to church. When I got saved, I said, okay, where can I go so that I can be taught? I want to learn about Jesus. Mm-hmm. So my mother-in-law for years had told me about Calvary Chapel. So I went ahead and went to Calvary Chapel. And, man, it was like a light turned on, and I thought, wow, this is where I need to be, because they're teaching me the Word of God. They're building me up. Mm-hmm. They're edifying, you know, the Lord, but at the same time, they're exhorting me, because Romaine was there. And I thought, you know what? I want to do this. And when I did that, I wanted my friends to have that too. So everybody that got saved, I took them to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and we began to develop, to grow, mm-hmm. to where the Lord put a call in our lives that we see today. And I think that's what's lacking in the church today, that friends don't care about friends. You know, they only care about themselves. And most people in the church, they're somewhere else. You know, they're doing things they shouldn't be doing. So the holiness of God is broken. Mm. And so when the holiness of God is broken, then there is no church.
Mm. We just had a friend that visited us from Australia. And from his perspective, being here, what he was blown away by was the balance of the importance of the Word of God, but also being open to the Spirit of God. As time has gone on, and that's really that philosophy of the Calvary Chapel movement, because years past, you've seen those that are, like, are heavy on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and just emotionalism
prophecy,
in a lot of ways. And then they don't have a heavy emphasis on the Word. Or you have those that have a heavy emphasis upon the Word, but they don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I thought that was cool to hear his perspective of that clear balance. And really, it has nothing to do with a philosophy of Calvary Chapel or any of those things.
But you know what?
It's really the work of God.
Yeah, what happens is when you study God's Word, there's that balance.
Yeah.
You're going to hit prophecy. You're going to hit the Holy Spirit. You're going to hit every doctrine in the Bible where people will be able to develop, to grow, and to have answers for people, which today the church has no answers.
Yeah, no, it's important. And for the church, I think one of the main things is, like, sometimes people focus on the wrong things. Mm-hmm. They get caught up in politics. They get caught up in other things that maybe take their attention away from what the purpose of the church is. You've seen that probably over the years, right?
Yeah, in going to Hawaii this time, I've gone to many conferences, but this time they asked the board to be there and other people to come and teach. And what was so cool, what I saw is that the teaching, it was balanced, and every one of us didn't say, okay, Don, you're going to teach or that, you're going to teach. Everybody had their teaching, and that's what's good about the Word of God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall pray and humble themselves before me, what did he say? He's going to add to the church. Things are going to happen in the church. And so Randall and I, we were laughing because we couldn't believe we had the same text. But what I saw in that conference is people that came. It's like they've been taught, but there's something new, because we spoke about revival too. Mm. I don't see revival in Hawaii. Mm. I don't see revival in California. I don't see revival in any one of the states of America or the world.
Yeah,
churches are developing. Churches are growing, but churches are closing too. Mm. And one of the things that I perceive, that if a church doesn't reach out to the young people, the church will die. Mm. No matter what you do, because the youth are the ones that are bringing other youths.
When we talk about revival, and you mentioned it right now, and as I've read back on some aspects of revival over the last 100, 200 years, everything is similar in this. It begins with a prayer, a burden for the lost. And when people come to salvation, there is repentance, number one, brokenness, acknowledgement of sin. You've taught on repentance for so many years, and your heart's been burdened. What is repentance? What does that mean?
Well, repentance is a turning away. You know, you're going one direction, you turn the other direction, which means you do a whole 180, you turn around. But what happens also in repentance, I mean, look at how many people have done that circle. And the reason, because they didn't get into the Word, they didn't pray, they didn't do all those things that you talked about. So they go right back to their sin. And I mean, Christians that have come here that sit under the teaching of God's Word, but there's no commitment. Their heart is not right. And instead of really saying, you know what, Lord, I've came here and I've heard the Word of God, I want to repent, something's trapped them where they can't get out of it. Mm-hmm. It could be a woman, it could be drugs, it could be alcohol, whatever. And it's not until you submit. He said, Lord, I'm sick and tired of this thing. Lord, help me. Mm. And you really cry out to the Lord to help you. Then true repentance comes, and then fruit comes through repentance, and you're never the same.
Well, when you just say the word revival, you're speaking about something that was dead that needs to be brought alive. That's what revive means,
right?
You've mentioned many times in the book of Revelation. I think you just mentioned this last night, where it says seven times, he who hears the Spirit of God to listen. But there's also, is it the Church of Ephesus?
Yeah.
Return to your first love?
Yes.
That's what happens, right? Yeah. People get cold when it comes to their Christian life, growing in the Lord.
But you notice there are two. Mm-hmm. People are active. They're doing, you know, what they're supposed
to do. Going through the motions.
Yes, going through the motions. Yeah. But there's no true emotion that the Lord gives to us.
Yeah. And for those that are out there right now, because there might be people watching right now, Ron, that had this dramatic conversion, got a work in their life, then maybe either trials or temptations or their lack of diligence in growing in the Lord, now they find themselves drifted. How do they return back? How do they get their life back in order?
Simple. Repent. You come back to the Lord. God knows what you've done. Mm-hmm. Do you know what you've done? And then coming back, do you really mean it? Is there going to be a real change in your life? And can people see that you've turned around and have fruit in your life? That's repentance.
And that's what the world needs. Jesus says you are to be the salt and the light. Mm-hmm. You are to be a purifying influence. We've talked about this before, and again, everything starts at the top, your relationship with the Lord, and everything starts to impact everything. It impacts your family. It impacts your ability to witness. Sometimes people throw in that word evangelism. That could be a scary word to some people because they think that it's them preaching on a street corner on top of a box. And like, oh, I can't do that. Well, true evangelism really is having a heart for people, being able to communicate God's word, God's truth. But a lot of times evangelism can just be building relationships in your community and the places that you go, and God opens up door of opportunity.
If you really want to see growth, if you really want to see an expansion of the church, you need to notice, take the gospel to people. And then God is going to do a whole new work and raise up a new generation. That's what happened in my generation. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had the 50s, the 60s, and all of a sudden the 70s came along. The hippie movement, there was revival. They would go automatically to their neighborhoods, to their friends, to their enemies, yeah, and go out on the streets and see people get saved.
Because when the Holy Spirit works in your heart, your heart becomes God's heart. God, the way God sees the world, that compassion, that heart for souls, all that changes your direction of life. And if you are not connected to the Lord, then your eyes are just focused upon the things of this world. And before you know it, the material things. You've taught a text, and that's always rang true. I mean, you've taught it so many times over the years, and it's in Mark chapter 4, the different hearers. Those that have those emotional experience, those that when trials come, they get caught up. But then there's those that really hear and they produce fruit.
They produce, yes.
You've seen that, right? You see that in the church?
You see it in the church. You know what was funny? When I came back from Vietnam, I was stationed in the hospital up in Oakland.
Yeah.
And on the weekends, I got to go to Hashbury. And when I went to Hashbury, I was kind of blown away because the hippie movie was starting.
Oh, that was huge. Yeah. Up in San Francisco.
Yes.
Area.
And I saw the negative, where later on I saw the positive, and I was blown away that in every store you went into, drugs were sold. And people walking around, drugged up, man. It's just incredible to see. And go back for me, because I never took drugs. Yeah. I never drank in that way in any way. But I thought, wow, you know, something's happening. Then the rebellion against us and the war. But it had to take that for God to do that in order to get us back on track, for God's Holy Spirit to move into the church, to move in the streets, to move in the highways and byways, to see what I saw. Amazing what God did.
As we're talking about those, you're bringing up like big social issues that were out there, right? The hippie movement, there was a animosity towards government and authority.
Yes.
There was a rebellion aspect of so many people's lives. And then the work of the Holy Spirit worked in such a powerful way. It impacted the church, but then it impacted the world. It impacted communities. And as we look at our world today, Raul, we see a lot of things taking place. We see divisiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Look at our nation.
Yeah.
We see the media that has the ability to communicate so much information. We see a nation that's inundated with information. Pornography is major.
Mm-hmm.
Sex trafficking is reality. There's so many evils that are in this world. And I think a lot of people, even if they're not walking with God, they have moments where they're like, man, what's wrong with this world? Like, this is horrible. But the solution to it is this, a work of God's Spirit.
Yes. And I was thinking about this too, that when you look at the movement of God, as you go through progression of years, man, you begin to see the fallout. I mean, big time. I mean, I look at that all the time. I look at the 80s, I look at the 90s, I look at the year 2000, and up to the present time. And since then, nothing's happened. And I really believe in my own heart, the reason it hasn't happened is because the church hasn't really spent time in prayer. Calvary Chapel started on our knees, mm-hmm, prayer. The hippie movement started on prayer. I mean, everything that we did was on prayer. And today, you know, if you visit churches, you can ask, well, how much time do you spend on prayer? And I said this from the pulpit, how much time you spend on your phone, your iPad, and on your computer. Mm-hmm. And when you look at that, man, I would be ashamed. Mm-hmm. to see that prayer doesn't really mean anything to people. I really believe that if we put away, there's a balance.
Yeah.
If there's a balance on those areas, I believe revival will come.
We've talked about what's taken place in hundreds of years ago, but just the current time, you've seen it through the 60s, 70s, 80s, and now where we're at here today. How does somebody stay riding that wave of having revival in their own personal life?
Being in the Word, being in prayer, waiting upon the Lord, sharing with people your heart, and then sitting for a while and hearing from God. What does God say to you? Not to everybody else. What is God saying to you personally? What does God want to be? He might call you to be a Jeremiah. He might call it to be a Moody or whatever. So you got to be open. And that's happened. That's happened in the past. Chuck was called. And I can name guys in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s that God has called. And God has used them even to the present time. There are guys that God has called. And you can tell God's called them by the results that you see in their lives, by what you see in people's lives all the way through teaching, preaching, whatever it is. And it's incredible.
Some of the traits of revival, like we mentioned, obviously repentance. It's the acknowledging, man, I've drifted from God, or sin has ravaged my life. I don't want to live this way any longer. And you ask the Lord for forgiveness. And then you change the direction of your life by being led by the Spirit of God, which in the same aspect of repentance is brokenness, humility, being teachable, being moldable. Like, Lord, whatever you have for me, that's what I want in my life. And then the effects of that is holiness.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a life that is set apart. Those things that you used to find comfort in, maybe watching filthy stuff, maybe listening to filthy stuff, or you living a certain way. Now all of a sudden there's that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Lord that we serve is holy.
Mm-hmm.
What is holiness?
To be separate. I mean, to just give yourself fully 100% to the Lord and staying away from evil and making sure you take your life and you do exactly what the scripture says. Yeah, you're going to trip, you're going to fall, but there's conviction. And you can see God's holiness. I mean, Isaiah chapter 6, I mean, God had to deal with Isaiah. Isaiah was not a bad sinner, but God dealt with him to make sure that God's message was going to be given the way God wanted to give it. That's important. Pastor Chuck Smith, God had called him to teach the Word of God. But at the same time, people wanted to use Chuck in the hippie days. And Chuck saw that a couple of times for a season, he had no worship. He became the worship. And the reason is because the musicians became hirelings, money, power, and the worship was lost. And the worship was part, like in the Old Testament, the guys leading the worship into the battle. And if you don't have that, there is no battle. You're going to get defeated.
Holiness. In ministry.
Yes.
In leaders.
Yes.
And that's what we were saying before.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's pastors, whether it's worship leaders, whether it's any aspect of serving in the ministry, children's ministry aspect, there has to be holiness in the camp. Peter is led by the Spirit of God in his letter and says that judgment starts in the house of God.
Totally.
The world's going to be judged, but judgment first starts in the house of
God. Because so much is given, much more is required.
Yeah.
That's us.
And it's sad because we have seen, and the world has seen, corruptness in churches, hypocrites in a lot of ways, like they like to throw
even
that word around.
At the present time.
Yeah. But the healing aspect is the same for the world and for the church.
Never change.
It's brokenness. Yeah. It's repentance. It's a return to holiness. And then God can move because it becomes a natural thing. You said nobody tells you what to do. When you really have an encounter with the Lord, it changes the direction of your family, the way you treat your wife. For the women, the way they treat their husband, the way they raise their children, how they are obedient to their own personal call upon their lives. And that's what a picture of being led by the Holy Spirit is.
Can you imagine in this church, or other churches, if you took every person that was not holy and say you can't return next Sunday, man, you would have almost nobody here.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the honest truth. Because holiness, you don't have to preach it. You can see it. I remember West Covina when we started the church and people were on fire for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And people that didn't want to be in holy, they left. Because the Holy Spirit convicted them. But today, they don't care. They come because maybe they're convicted about something. They come to do their good duty. You can see that in church.
Yeah.
But I think with us, as Calvary Chapel, Golden Springs, we really have to spend some time in prayer. I really believe that. I think we have to wait and look at every ministry. Every ministry has to be examined, and every ministry has to be rebuilt. Rebuilt. If you want to see revival, you have to rebuild it.
Yeah.
This is one thing that Chuck taught us. Don't have friends in the ministry,
yeah,
because when you have to remove them, it will hurt you.
Yeah.
And so it's important to do that.
It's important to take inventory in every aspect,
yes,
of
totally,
your own personal life,
totally,
of ministry,
yes,
because a lot of times things can go stale and it's lost its purpose. You got to be, why do we do this?
Yeah.
What is the purpose of this? And that's why I'm glad that we're able to talk about these subjects here today.
Yes.
Why the church? What's the purpose of the church? We mentioned it in the beginning of the program. It is the edifying of the body of Christ.
Building
which
up.
Literally means building up.
Yes.
It means teaching them that their lives might change, that their life, their changed lives affect other people's lives, and the church reproduces itself.
And they don't become the Corinthian church.
Corinth,
you know? Corinth, that's crazy.
We got a couple more minutes, but when you bring up the Corinth church, I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned by that, because a revival took place in Corinth.
Yeah.
In a very pagan area.
Yeah.
And yet, as a couple years went by, now all this carnality happens, and this is the downfall that happens in many churches, is when they allow the world to come inside the church. They've lost their focus. They're not impacting the communities. The communities are impacting them.
But you know, too, one person did that. Paul the Apostle.
Yep.
It wasn't 15, 20, 30. That's what I talk about revival. Mm. One person that is holy, one person that believes in revival, went into a city. I've been to that city. Went into the city of Corinth. Mm. And to be able to turn around and to have revival, that's what God wants today in the Corinth church.
And as we say church, a church is not a little steeple and everything. No, the church is us. It's the body of Christ.
The body of Christ.
And for the church to impact people, they need to be, number one, born again of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
For those that are born again of the Holy Spirit, they need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
They need to make decisions that are based upon the conviction of the Holy Spirit,
yes,
the assurance that God is leading them in decisions that they're making, mm-hmm, so that there is peace. Because when the Holy Spirit's moving, there's peace. There's no
total
striving.
Peace. Yeah, no strive. Uh-uh.
And that's what the church needs today. And then last, revival.
Yes.
I think it was Leonard Ravenhill that wrote a book, Why Revival Tarries,
uh-huh,
or in the word tarry just means why does it, why is it lagging? Why is it not, why is it taking so long? Answer that question, Raul, as we close. Why does revival tarry?
Because of sin. You know what we need? We need the book of Acts chapter 2. That's what we need. I mean, in conclusion, I would say let's go back to chapter 2 of Acts to see what God wants. 120 people from 120, the first day, 3,000 people got saved. And man, it took off all the way through the book of Acts. And that's what Paul wrote all these epistles.
So thankful that you're able to tune in today on Somebody Loves You Straight Talk. We'll be back next month with a new episode. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks a lot.
Maranatha. God bless you guys.
All right. Take care. Peace.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio Straight Talk with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's interview, we'll be glad to send you a complete CD copy for a donation of any amount. To get that, just call 800-634-9165 and request today's Straight Talk. Well, Raul has spent most of his adult years walking in relationship with the Lord, but many years ago he rejected God and almost destroyed his life. Today, we'd like to offer you Raul's inspiring testimony of how the Lord freely offered him forgiveness and redemption and completely transformed his heart. Titled Fury to Freedom, this hardcover biography explores the pain of Raul's childhood and the rage he bottled up as a young Vietnam veteran before God came to his rescue with healing and hope. As Raul shares his experience, you'll see that wherever you are in your own spiritual walk, the Lord can bring revival to your heart and life. So get in touch with us to order Fury to Freedom. We'll send you Raul's book for just $10 plus shipping and handling. Just visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order this resource by writing us, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. The best way to stay on track with the Lord is to fill your heart and mind with His Word. And we have several free Somebody Loves You resources you can utilize. Download our app on your iPhone or Android for convenient access to live streaming webcasts and archived broadcasts. Or catch all of Raul's teachings as podcasts through Spotify or iTunes. We're very pleased to invite you to join Raul and Sharon for a 2020 tour of the Holy Land. This will be a faith-building adventure of a lifetime that you won't want to miss. Start planning and saving to make a pilgrimage to the very places Jesus lived and ministered. As you set sail on the Sea of Galilee and walk the streets of Jerusalem, the Bible will come to life. The dates for this 11-day tour are April 25th through May the 5th. For more information, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com and click on the Holy Land 2020 link. Don't forget, it's through your continued prayers and financial support that Somebody Loves You Radio is able to be heard on this station. On behalf of all of us, thanks so much for your partnership. Coming up next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll return to our series in Luke's Gospel. You'll be encouraged to focus on nurturing your relationship with Christ instead of getting sidetracked by secondary issues. That's next time on Somebody Loves You Radio. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.